World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good October the 6th. I think it is in October the 6th. Thanks for joining us here. Had a real quick little burst before we went live with the people that are in the queue. By the way, if you want to join to where you can come in and talk and dialogue back and forth, Lord, let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You have to go to CoachDaveLive.com and log on at CoachDaveLive.com. Then you become part of what we call the queue. You can ask questions. You can interject. You can only find that at CoachDaveLive. Now, you can join on a lot of different platforms, and whatever platform you're watching it on, good. But if you really want to get your 2 cents worth, you got to log in at CoachDaveLive. That's the only way you can get in the queue, okay? And look, the queue is just a little bit of housekeeping here. It's an open forum. But you know what I did last week? I talked to my wife and talked to a couple others. I'm about ready to shut down the chat, because the chat a lot of times is distracting. You guys aren't even talking about what we're talking about. And so if you want to talk about it, then talk to each other afterwards. Don't come in the queue and talk about what you want to talk about. Although it's an open forum, you understand what I'm saying? So let's keep it. I love the dialogue that goes back and forth. It's all good. But at the end of the day, do you guys see right at the top of the screen? So I don't know, right on my screen, nobody has to touch anything. Do you see at the end of the day, right there, it says Coach Dave Live? It isn't JR Live. Hey, JR, thanks for covering for me on Friday. I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but I know you did a good job. It's not JR Live. It's not Randy Live. It's not Craig Live. It's not RL Burgess Live. It's Coach Dave Live. It's my show. It's my show. And one of the things I kind of barked at people a little bit about is I understand, look, friends, we're all made differently. We're all made differently. And some of you guys are doing unbelievable ministry outreaches, and I am so in your corner. But you have got to understand that you can't make your interest the main thing. Hey, JR cares about child trafficking. God bless him. No, I'm sorry. He cares about the natural family. God bless him. Go, JR. But you can't expect I'm not being critical and painting a picture. You can't expect everybody to be as passionate about it as you are, JR, because why? The Lord's gifted you in that area. And then you got somebody else. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on. And thank God you have grabbed a hold of what it is the Lord wants you to do. But it'd be like getting in a group of people and we're talking about the dollar bill, and all of a sudden you want to start talking about stamp collecting. I mean, it's good, but it doesn't belong, right? It doesn't belong. So I'm patting myself on the back. I thank God for what we've stimulated in people out there. And whatever it is the Lord's called you to do, man, go do it and do it with all your might. And I'll be glad to help you. We'll do whatever we can to help promote it. But we cannot turn Coach Dave Live into what your major issue is. Now, does that make you mad? That make you mad? Friends, look. Greatest mistake people make. Somebody's going to tell you. I'm just telling you. The greatest mistake that people make is assuming that your audience knows what you know. That's the greatest mistake. I watched the Ohio State Buckeyes get beaten last year by Michigan. And the Bucks didn't. It was a stupid offensive game plan. I'm a coach. Dude, what the hell are they doing? They continue to run. What are they doing? And come to find out after the game's over why they were running. And it was an issue of their own from injuries and that kind of stuff. I couldn't figure it out. And so everybody's an armchair quarterback to a degree. And that's okay, because it's how thought is stimulated. But understand that sometimes the quarterback, Coach Dave, sometimes the coach, I guess, knows it. Different. I ain't going to run that play. Not going to run that play today, okay? So I'm not, look, I'm, please, if you're taking this criticism, stop sucking on your thumb. I'm just telling you the truth. I watch what goes on in the chat, and in the chat there are 17 different conversations going on. And all the conversations are somebody trying to expound on what they think is important. Praise the Lord. But that ain't the place to do it. Somebody say amen, so I know I got at least one friend out there, because the chat has become distracting.
Amen.
It's become amen. Distracting. It's become distracting, okay? So have at it, man. Have at it. And then you got the after show. You can go on forever and ever and ever. But if I'm talking about something on here, why are we talking about something else in the chat? I don't get it, okay? Anyway, God bless you. Love you all. I want to thank JR for covering for me. I want to thank Chad for being such a good host. And, you know, I was in Texas all weekend, and I'll get into a little bit of that, but not really. And Chad was a great host down there. And, man, I drove so many miles down. Hey, there ain't nothing in Texas. They have cities and then nothing. And then another city, and then nothing. It's like, I mean, it's like no place that I know of, really. It's unbelievable. So we had a great weekend down there. Thanks to Ohio, Amy, and excuse me, what she's trying to do with her Stay Awake America tours, and Casper, who's helping to set those things up. And again, crowd was disappointing. Crowd's always disappointing. And I don't know how we reach more. I don't know why these things aren't being held in churches, headed by pastors, where people, for the life of me, I don't get it. I don't understand. If I was pastoring a church, I would be hosting one of these a month. I'd bring in Judy Mikovits for a Saturday night. Maybe I need to start doing a little bit more of that here myself. You know why I don't? I don't have a venue. I don't have a place where I can put people. We want to start talking about the Giants, the mounds here in Ohio. Chris Zimmerman wants to come in. Where do I put him? The churches, they ain't going to let me come in to start talking about the Giants and the mounds all around us. So you understand the dilemma that we're facing here. By the way, Paul, Dr. Paul, I got to meet your buddy. He's running for governor. I didn't have any idea. It was awesome. And we had a good conversation about that and yada, yada, yada. Can I move on? Can we move on? By the way, Stuart Rhodes, you guys know the story of Stuart Rhodes, Oath Keepers. My goodness, folks. He spoke for about 40 minutes. And first of all, he's a Harvard trained or Yale, one of them. Law school grad. This guy ain't no dummy. And he spent 2 years, he's head of Oath Keepers, and he spent 2 years in prison. And you ought to hear the lies that the government told and made up about him. He's a lawyer, right? So he sees all this stuff going on, and he can't believe it. Well, he's out now, and he's going to try to rebuild Oath Keepers. I got 1,000 directions I really want to go, okay? So let me see. JR, man, anybody else out there? Look, there aren't many places like this. There are not very many places like this where you can engage with a lot of people, say your 2 cents about what you think, but you have to understand sometimes we don't care. It's what the Lord's called you to do, and we want to help you, but don't expect me to get up and wave my pom-poms over something the Lord has called you to do, right? We want to activate and motivate, and I see 1,000 different problems. If you went to this event this weekend, the speakers they had were all great speakers and all had different topics. All of them had different topics. But here's where I come down on it. What are we going to do about it? It's information overload. Vaccines, pharmaceutical, I mean, just and all of it, great information. Now, what do we do? What do we do? And so... you know, JR, I think, coined the term do radio. That's what this would be. That's what I like this to be. So what I like, but at the same time, you cannot kidnap our audience here. Because just because something is important to you doesn't mean it's important to everybody else. So a little dab will do you, okay? Cool. Eileen's got her hand up. She must have something serious to say. I got some good stuff. Hang in there with me. Go ahead, Eileen.
Good morning, Coach. Sheriff Richard Mack was in Michigan for our Lincoln Day event over the weekend, and I talked to him about the show, and he said, you just call him, yeah. And he'll get up no matter what time of morning it is.
Okay.
And what the information that he shared, his story, just unbelievable that we're missing the mark when it comes to our sheriffs.
Yes, we are.
And our Constitution. Eileen,
here's his number. I've been communicating, not with him, but with his scheduler, right? And he's in, I don't know where he is, but it's a lot earlier. And I already told him, I've been in communication with him for 2 weeks, Sheriff Mack. He wants to come on. I said, dude, you got to get up at 4 a.m. Sorry, that's when I do it. That's when I do it. So we'll get him on, Eileen, because here's something else I saw. We have to connect Sheriff Mack and Oath Keepers. Stuart Rhodes wants to rebuild the Oath Keepers, by the way. He was infiltrated, stolen. The government lied against him. Why? Because that was a very powerful group element of society. They tried to make Oath Keepers look like they led the insurrection in Washington, D.C., and just the opposite. It was just the opposite. They were trying to protect people, folks. And, you know, Stuart Rhodes said to me personally, I baptized Stuart Rhodes. I'm not bragging. I did years ago. And he told me, he says, Coach, be careful with infiltration. He said, they infiltrated up to my left and right hand men. I didn't even know it. And when I went into court, those guys that were planted in there lied about me. He said, if you're doing anything good, you better understand that they're going to try to infiltrate and take over what it is you're trying. I'm not accusing anybody out there. I'm not accusing anybody. But he said, they're really good at it, man. They're really, really good at it. And when he went, I'll get him back on. When he went to jail, with his right-hand men lying about him. So I, all the way home, I'm going down through my list. Say, can I trust this guy? Can I trust this guy? Can I trust this guy? Because it's real, isn't it, folks? It's real. And we're having an impact. We're having a real impact here. And I want to encourage you to keep going. Look. I am not making fun or light of what issue the Lord has laid on your heart. Huh? Laid on your heart. It's like if I were to go to a conference and they had seven different conference speakers. This guy's talking about the rapture, and this guy's talking about end time theology, and this guy's talking about spiritual warfare, and then all I'm going on at the same time. And I had to pick. We wouldn't all pick the same session. So what happens here, Coach Dave, is a lot of times it's just one session. And nobody wants to talk about that session. They want to talk about this over here, right? And so I just caution all of us not to try to kidnap what it is we're doing here because of the issue that you think is the most important, right? They're all important. They're all connected. Cool? All good? All good. Jeff's got his hand. Look, I got so much good stuff to give you today, but I'm going to open it up right now at the top. If somebody's got something they want to say, let's say right now. Go ahead, Jeff. Yes, hey, sir. Hang on. I'm going to say this again, and I'm going to say this really, really clearly. We have some, I'm not going to mention any names. Some people used to be with us here at Coach Dave Live, and they're not worth us anymore because they wanted to talk about their thing. And their thing was very, very important, edgy, great stuff. And you know what I said? Make some YouTube videos. Make some YouTube videos. I'll play your YouTube video so you can explain to everybody what's going on. Let me give you, for instance, David Arthur. David Arthur. We could go round and round about David Arthur and, you know, his backsliding and all that kind of stuff. But he has unbelievable information. But look, I'm not gonna turn my entire show over to transgender homo. I'm not gonna do it. But if you want to make a video that we put in the chat that everybody can watch, go ahead, go for it. So people left because I wouldn't talk about their subject. What's the first mistake you make in education? Assuming your audience knows what you know. And you have got to start with the basics, right? Start with the basics and explain it to people. You guys can all make videos. This isn't hard. This is 2000 whatever. You can do it. But you can't come in here and kidnap the show. I know you're not trying to kidnap the show. That's the wrong word to say. But you can't come in here and try to make your issue the issue every time. It doesn't, I'm telling you, okay? Trying to be as nice as I can. I'll promote what you do. I'll maybe play your video. I'll do all that stuff. Look, Ray LeBlanc, I've played like three of Ray LeBlanc's videos in the last couple of weeks. He made a video. I watched it. Say, hey, that's good. I'll play it. Don't come in here live and try to explain something that people don't understand. So I get in here and talk about the Nephilim. I'd love to talk more about the Nephilim. But 75% of our audience don't even know what we're talking about. They don't know what I'm talking about. You with me? So we're making a great impact, man. We're making, whew. I was amazed out when I was out there again. The people who watched the show from places I would never, ever. I never would have thought. And it's not, because look, this show doesn't, it, lot of people don't like it. Why don't they like it? Because they're not called to do what it is we're talking to do. You guys are the straw that stirs the drink. Your issue matters, but you have to understand that your issue, even though the Lord has made it really at the right at top of the list on your heart, it's not the only issue. That's the greatest battle we fight here. You say, well, Coach Dave, look, if you just let me on and let me talk about income tax, I'd get this whole place straightened out. Well, really think that? No, it's just your issue, and it's important, and we would love to talk about that, but that ain't gonna. Let's get David Arthur in here and talk about grooming. Well, does everyone hear about grooming? No, not everyone. We all heard. I don't hear anymore, right? So that's the battle I fight here, because the battle is so broad, so multi-fronted here, right? So I try to keep this show focused on what I think. It's Coach Dave Live. And you're allowed to disagree with me, and you can turn it off if you don't like the topic. But, folks, there's got to be some order here, and that's what I try to do. Jeff Klein, go ahead.
Real quick. 6 days of retirement, and today is the 6th anniversary of 34 years with Mary Jane. That's it.
So you've been married 34 years, and you retired.
That's it.
Attaboy, Jeff. Jeff, we're in your corner, man. See, Jeff can come in here and talk. Look, I'll just use him as Jeff's my friend, so he's going to care. Jeff can come in here and talk about church in the garage. We've got church going on Thursday night, and here's what we're going to do. Well, how does that apply to somebody in California? How does that apply to somebody down in Texas, right? So we have to understand that your issue is your issue, and God bless you. I'm here to help you, but it can't become the main thing. Anybody else? Good time to vent your frustration. You want to right now. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, I'm not frustrated. I'm encouraged.
Yes.
I love you, what you're doing, Coach,
your
platform, because I feel like other people are doing something. When you're around people who aren't, they're just talkers and they're not doing anything. Now that's what's frustrating.
Yes.
You know, and if I didn't have this show, Coach, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know if I would be motivated as much. I mean, I want to get up and do this every day, Coach, and I really do. But what I loved about the show, Coach, is coming in here and hearing other people with something on their heart, and they do something. And if we can be modelers of the church, Coach, this it's spiritual to me first. Everything else is secondary. The kingdom of God is what our focus should be, to advance the kingdom. If it doesn't advance the kingdom, we need to check what are we really doing. So, but Coach, that's what I love about you is you're not too selfish. It ain't about you. But people want to take over and be about them, and it's wrong, and it's very, that's what's frustrating.
Well, Randy, it's not about them. It's the issue the Lord's put on their heart. I get it. I understand, right? Dr. Paul Goslin would probably like to talk about the medical system and how screwed up that is. But Jeff Klein doesn't care about that. I mean, Jeff does, but he don't care about anyone, right? So we have to understand that whatever the issue is, the Lord has laid on your heart, baby. Run with it. Run with it. But don't expect me to carry it for you. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm for y'all. I'm for y'all, right? Hey, look. There ain't no cherry pickers here with Coach Dave Live. I got friends out there. Chad is real nice to me. Went down there, but Chad ain't any better than anybody else. I want you to know that. Ain't nobody owns me. Ain't no big donors making us go. No, I'm just telling you the truth. And so when I come here every day, I try to speak the truth. I try to hear what the Lord has spoken to me about and try to throw it on the table and let us slice it and dice it. And if your issue's taxes, dude, go after taxes. And if your issue is education, dude, go after education. And if your issue is family, go after the family. But don't expect everybody else to get behind your issue. That's all I'm saying. Look, leadership's lonely, folks. It's so lonely. Any idea how many friends I've lost? I've gained a bunch of them. How many I lost? I think I'm crazy. But the more they think I'm crazy, the harder I paddle. And I just avoid them. I just ain't going to go down that stream. They don't like me down there. Okay, I ain't gonna go down there. I'll find someplace else to walk. And that's what you gotta do. Just next, next, next. Just keep telling the story. Next, next. And don't get upset if they don't get it. Okay? They don't.
Boom.
And how many of you out there right now, say what you want to, have been inspired by this show, not me, this gathering, to get involved? That's what it's about. But don't make your issue the main issue. Don't do that. Because it's broad as a way. Man. Okay, I'll shut up here a minute. Greg Yates, come on, Greg, whoever. Come on in there, Greg. And then John.
Ask me, Coach. I'm at Greg's house.
Okay, great, Paul.
And I was just thinking all those folks that used to be in. They're still here, Coach. Believe it or not, I talk to these folks all the time.
Good. I hope they are.
Their lives are just absolutely chaos, Coach. Amen. You know, whether it's turbo cancers or just overwhelming.
You're right, buddy.
They're still there, Coach. Believe me. Don't lose faith on that one.
Thanks, Paul. I don't, look, folks, I know this isn't a popularity contest. I understand that. I would just say this. If you leave, just say why. Just why you leave. Say, hey, Coach, I can't get up in the morning. Whatever, it doesn't matter. We don't do it. It's not popular. And I'm proud of those of you out there who are engaged, who weren't engaged. Mm-hmm. That's what I say, huh? Johnny, come on in.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Good morning, everybody. I just want to say how inspired I am by the Holy Spirit that's led me to Coach Dave Live.
Amen.
And all of you people in the queue to inspire ideas through the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
To get our hands and feet moving. And it's taken action with me. I mean, and it's not to pride myself at all. It's to working for the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you, the church that I'm going to, that I've been going to for quite a long time. When it first started, there was a handful of people there, but I'm telling you, people are seeking truth. People are yearning for righteousness. We had over 200 people, I think, in our church yesterday. It was just packed. And so with that, I just want to say I had mentioned a while back I went to Man Camp up in northern Wisconsin. And a couple of the guys I camped with in the cabin, I told them about this staking. And so now what we're doing is I've got this one fellow brother of mine and his wife and their two children. We're going to get together in a couple of weeks on Sunday after church. And he's going to take his kids to Menards. They're going to buy a couple of bags of rocks, a couple of paint markers.
Awesome.
And they're sitting around, and we're all going to go around staking on Sunday after church in a
Johnny,
couple of weeks.
It's the easiest thing you could ever do, isn't it? Everybody can do that.
Yeah, so it's just, I mean, you could see the Holy Spirit just running. And people are hungry. They really are. Because people are fed up, and I think people are getting a little worried and scared. So it's driving them to their maker. So thanks, Coach Dave.
Amen. I try to say this in as kind of way as I can, okay? There's an unbelievable shift going on within the church, folks. I think we're seeing the death of the prosperity gospel. That's what I think that's what's going on.
Amen.
If you guys would be with me and go back maybe in your mind 20 years, 25 years, Pat Robertson, but maybe even longer than that ago, right? Prosperity gospel came out, the satellite TV, all that kind of stuff. And folks, we're being driven to our knees. And the Bible says there's nothing shaken, nothing made that will not be shaken. And the entire foundation of America is being shaken. It's happening right in front of us. Hey, friends, we're going away from the dollar. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know whether it's going to be Bitcoin. I don't know what it's going to be. But they're doing away with that dollar. And how is that going to leave all of us? What's it going to look like from a financial standpoint when they go away from the dollar? What's it going to be like? And we're on the verge of that happening. There's an upheaval going on in our midst like we have never, ever seen. And you and I have to cling to that which is true and not cling to that which isn't true. And we have to begin, I've said this, it's kind of the theme here of the show. Who told you that? Who told you that? You've been going to that same church under that same pastor for 30 years? Does he ever talk about some of this stuff? Well, why doesn't he talk about any of it? Because he doesn't know. He doesn't know. And I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. all of a sudden somebody will introduce some new information to me. And I think, oh man, how do I share that? How do I share that information with people who are already believing this? And this makes anybody tracking with me? That's the greatest frustration. So a guy standing in the pulpit, he has to make that evaluation every Sunday. Am I going to talk about this? Do I really want to talk about this? Because if I talk about this, Billy Bob over here, he's going to be complaining. Do I really want to do that? Or am I just going to paddle right down the middle and keep everything safe and keep the coffers filled and keep being a – that's a battle. Way I see it. That's a battle. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, that's one of the best parts of this show, Coach. It stimulates my issues are my issues, but we get to share, and I've learned so much how to use other people's concepts, ideas, just little things like who told you to make my issue work better. So this is stimulating. It's not supposed to be I'm not taking over your show. We just stimulate each other's thoughts. Right. And it's excellent.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to call my buddy Pastor Clint down in Royston, Georgia. I see he's in here. Pastor Clint, your preaching has become a little bit more edgy, a little bit more cultural focused. What's been? Are people leaving your church, Pastor? What's going on with it now?
Well,
I mean, you're taking them to the streets now, right, Clint?
Just about every Sunday, yeah. And yesterday. earlier in the week, yesterday was Life Change Sunday. And so I called a pastor that was where we usually stand is in Franklin Springs, and there's a Baptist church there. And I called him, and of course I didn't get an answer, but I left a message and never heard anything back. I'm like, yeah, so I don't know if everybody's on board with change, but our church sure is.
Amen. Amen. Folks, don't you want to go deeper? Do you want to have a comfortable faith? I'm not bragging, okay? Michelle, she's listening up there. So, you guys have any idea how many times a day I tell Michelle that I love her? Double digits. I just don't sit around and reap the benefits of being married to her. She's a good cook. She cleans. She's loving. She takes care of the grandkids. I tell her every day, every 10 times, 20 times a day, well, I love you. I love you. You know, if you love somebody, you serve them. You serve them. Are you serving the Lord, or is the Lord serving you? That's really what it comes down to. Most people go to church so the Lord can serve them. Somebody say amen on that one, will you? That's what we've been taught in modern Christianity. Come to church and Jesus will be your best friend, and he'll serve you, and he'll take care of your finances. He'll take care of your health. And say, why do I have to pay? What do I have to do to get all that? Oh, nothing. It's free. It's free. Just come sit here in the pew and soak it all in, and we'll see you next Sunday. And that's what most of us are. Hey, folks, it's going to get tougher. I ain't trying to scare anybody. I'm just telling you, it's going to get tougher, and we're going to find out where people really stand with their faith. Okay, let me jump into some issues today. By the way, I don't have any favorites. I love Randy Lunsford, but I don't agree with Randy just because he's my buddy. Huh? Yeah. Oh, I love Jack McCarver. I'm looking down the aisle. Some of you folks I don't even know. I'm going to tell you this. Chad can attest to this. Nobody controls me, man. Nobody controls me. Nobody does. So I want you to know the truth. Just know the truth. And well, if I got phones banging, I got stuff going on, then thank you, Stephanie. I'll get to it. Okay, I want to show you something. Right here in Ohio, I got to show you this. Pull up number 6 for me. What do we do, folks? What do we do? Conservatism is pretend salt. Is that number 6? That's not the one I wanted. Daggone it. That's it. Stay right there. Conservatism is pretend salt. Conservatism is pretend salt. Looks like salt, smells like salt. That's not the real thing. It's fake salt. That's our t-shirt. I don't have it in front of me. Oh, by the way, I just got some new ones in if you'd like to get one. Conservatism is pretend salt. And what's happened in our culture and our society is we're electing conservatives. Here in the state of Ohio, our governor, Mike DeWine, who's the he's a Democrat dressed in Republican clothes, calling himself a conservative. He's been at the center of American, of Ohio politics for I don't know how long. Mike DeWine. He's term limited. He's out as governor. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And there's nobody really running for governor. I mean, there is, but who's risen to the top? Vivek Ramaswamy, a Hindu. Now, hang on. Somebody help me out here. Anybody know that name 3 years ago? Anybody know that name 4 years ago? Vivek Ramaswamy. And now, all of a sudden, Vivek wants to be governor of Ohio. And who's fallen in line? Why, all the conservatives. All the conservatives. Well, there's a difference between a conservative and a Christian. Oh, yeah. Oh, you think those are the same? No. Remember, T-shirt, conservatism is pretend salt. It looks like Christianity. So here we have a conservative Hindu, probably going to be governor of Ohio. I want you to think about that. Where did this guy come from? Where did he come from? Front runner to be governor in the state of Ohio. So this guy, this is 5 minutes, but I want you to see what we're dealing with here, okay? So this video, somebody says, ask the question that I would ask. Vivek, you're not a Christian. You're a Hindu. Well, you're gonna see it. And look, you want to see somebody answer a question without answering the question? If I had this opportunity, I would ask, hey, Vivek, do you believe Jesus Christ is the savior of mankind? I'd have been direct with it, right? We don't know how to ask questions. We don't know how to put them on the spot. So this guy, God bless him, he's a Christian, and he's confronting Vivek, who probably looks like front runner to be our governor, a Hindu. See if Vivek answers the question. Go ahead. It's 5 minutes. I think maybe you can put it at 1.5. We can go a little bit quicker. Listen to this double talk. I want you to remember this, okay? At the end of this, don't forget what the question was. And then see if it's answered at the end. Go ahead.
Hinduism is a wicked pagan religion, and it's completely incompatible with America.
I've had a lot harder challenges than this one, so don't pat yourself on the back too hard there.
Throughout the course of the lecture, you talked an awful lot about God and faith. And there were some men that come up here and they ask you about your Hindu religion. But my suspicion is if they didn't mention that, you would have omitted who that God was throughout the course of the entire lecture. And most of the people in this room here would leave thinking you were talking about the only true God, Jesus Christ. And God has a name, and Hinduism is a wicked pagan religion. And it's completely incompatible with America. Everyone in this.
Do you guys agree with that? Do you guys agree with that? Hinduism is completely incompatible with America. Go ahead.
The entire room is a Christian. They believe in Jesus Christ. And you've attempted to create this parallel, however tenuously, between Christian principles, Christian moral principles, and these Hindu values. And you look in sacred scripture and you see that all the gods of the Gentiles are devils. And there's only one name under heaven that can give you salvation. So my big question is, And you've talked about being forthright and transparent.
Here's a question you should ask. Right now, freeze it. See, here's a question you should ask. What do you say about Jesus Christ? You should have asked that question and put this guy on the spot. Is Jesus Christ the way, the truth, and the life? Is Jesus Christ the only way? Those are the questions we have to learn to ask. Go ahead.
Is that you would have omitted who that God was when you were speaking here tonight had you not explicitly been asked about Hinduism? So my challenge, I guess, to you going forward would be to say who this God is. Is it Wahaguru, the one that was blasphemously prayed to at the RNC? Is it one of these other Hindu deities? Or is it our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ?
I've had a lot harder challenges than this one, so don't pat yourself on the back too.
Freeze it. Remember the question. Remember the question, right? Who's God? That was the question. See if he answers it. Go ahead.
Hard there. I don't want you to sprain your back with that one. You run for U.S. president at the age of 37 as somebody who's been in business, who's actually easiest thing to call myself some Vic Ramsey and pretend to be a Christian. Get other people on that debate stage last time and shorten their names and call themselves to be a Christian too. I'm man up and tell you who I am, and believe me, your suspicion is off base. Listen to any number of the campaign speeches I gave over thousands of them over the course of the last year. So we can take the disingenuous accusation off the table, but level with what I do think is an interesting.
Forthcoming with that. You did not volunteer that information. It had to be pried out. You never volunteered that information.
So
you mentioned God. That's actually, but you conspicuously omitted his name.
So let me know when you're done and I can address your question. Good. So watch about the last presidential campaign of last year, and you apparently have had your head stuck in the sand where it need not be belong. Now, what I think we need more of in our American politic is less of questioning the motivations of what somebody is and get to the content of where there's an actual difference of opinion. So the question of whether or not somebody of a non-Christian faith can embody and lead the United States of America at any meaningful level is an open question. Thomas Jefferson is on the other side of this question from you. Thomas Jefferson was not a traditional Christian.
Watch this now. He makes it all about Thomas Jefferson, the founding fathers, never answers the question. Go ahead.
Exactly. Thomas Jefferson is a deist.
He's an enemy of Christianity.
So this is where we disagree, right? Is, as you heard, if you believe Thomas Jefferson is an enemy of Christianity because he is a deist, which is you just bring the microphone so you can confirm that.
But yes, you're running for politics in America.
Right.
And the purpose of politics is the temporal good here on earth. Okay. We're talking about good, and that's an objective thing. So we need laws that are going to govern society.
So you and I have a different point of view on this. And I think that the only point I would make to those who are listening as students, and I'm glad you're stepping up and asking a challenging question. I would advise you to next time leave the disingenuous accusations of motivation to one side, because there's a more interesting exchange for us to have. If you believe that Thomas Jefferson as a deist is somebody who would have been unqualified to be U.S. president.
How did this become about Thomas Jefferson? How did this question become about Thomas Jefferson? Go ahead.
Then I guess you and I see the future of the United States of America differently. It so happens that he was the person who signed this document called the Declaration of Independence, which is the greatest mission statement known to a country in the history of mankind, without which the United States of America would not exist. He was the third U.S. president who signed the Lewis and Clark expeditions, without which we literally wouldn't have the United States of America. So if you view him as some type of deviant who should have never been in the U.S. presidency, that's a permissible point of view. It's just not one that I share. And my view is very similar to that of Thomas Jefferson, is that it's the commitment to the Constitution that matters whether or not you lead the country. But the beauty of our nation is that we're able to have different points of view and earnestly engage in an open exchange. And you know, I come down on Thomas Jefferson's side of it. And if you're on a different side of it, the beauty of this country is we'll let you do that. So thank you, man, for asking the question.
Did you answer the question, folks? Is Jesus Christ the way, the truth, and life? Is Jesus Christ God? And are we going to put into office a conservative Hindu? What would Almighty, if those of us who believe in Christianity, are we going to stoop so low to elect a man who is clearly not a Christian man? We know he's not a Christian. By the way, didn't we do that with Barack? Didn't Barack play the same game? We let him get away with it. And then ask ourselves this, Angie. Ask ourselves this. Who's pushing Vivek Ramaswamy? Where did he come from? And how all of a sudden is he the darling of the conservative movement? Not even a believer in that name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Huh? How did this get thrown on top of us, folks? He and Thomas Jefferson are best buds. They both believe in separation of church and state. They both believe in whatever morality you want. Huh? Did he talk about his Hindu faith? Did he explain to us why he's a Hindu and he's proud to be a Hindu and what the values are in Hinduism that he's going to bring to the government? No. He attacked the guy for asking the question. These guys are slick, man. They're slick. Jeff Nares, come on in.
That's all about the next best choice. What else we have, right? And people are going to vote for it. He's best friends with J.D.
He's
Vance.
He's a conservative, dude. He's a conservative.
J.D. Vance's wife is a Hindu. It's, you know, same thing.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? And what was the question? Should you and I, as a Christian man, vote for unchristian leadership? Wait a minute. Who's a conservative? Hey, friends, who's been grooming Vivek? Where did he come out of nowhere? Well, wait a minute. We know this. He's a billionaire, so he's got a lot of money. So he bought his way to the top, clearly. And now Christians are falling in line behind an open Hindu as governor of Ohio.
Boom.
Wow, huh? Wow. Craig.
Well, it's spiritual more than anything else. I know people sometimes don't see it that way as much, but I put in the chat, there's a gentleman, actually he's from Maryland, and he had the Hindu opening prayer at the 2024 DNC, right? So it's not a conservative thing.
No,
because it's on both sides. So it's not a conservative or liberal thing. I guess it's a spiritual thing, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And the thing is this is the tactics of the Satan. They're going to try doors. You know, if this window's not open, they're going to go around this side of the building. They're going to go and they're going to find a way to be at the throttles of power over Christians.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Hey, Craig, not only that, Christians promoting them. You say, well, you got to vote. You can't vote for the Democrat. Come on, you can't vote for that. Did you know Vivek is pro-choice? Anybody know that out there? He's not tat on it real loud, but yeah, he's pro-choice, Vivek is. That's all right, huh? Serve it up to those Christians. They'll eat anything. Brett, come on in. P.A. Brett.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, team. Hey, I just think we have to be a little careful with what, you know, what we're talking about here because, you know, Christians, church-going people, many times don't vote because they say they can't vote for any of the candidates. And so we got to be a little careful how we're phrasing all this. Fortunately, people came out and voted for Trump, but we're not sure Trump's a Christian. Now, he's not, as far as we know, he's not a Hindu or anything, but we got to be careful we don't scare people back into the church. And when the voting time comes around, they can't vote because there's no Christians running. Hello.
I couldn't get my mute button there. I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with you, Brett. I agree with you. But folks, see, we've been put into a secular box. And everybody's rights matter except the Christians. The Christians are over here in this box. And you guys keep your Christianity to yourself, and we're open and inclusive. Even the Republican Party, we're open and inclusive. We would love to have a Hindu come in and represent us because he's got good conservative values. Except he's pro-choice, right? And who doesn't believe Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? These are really, really serious issues, friends. And then how did we get to the point in America where that's what we got? Man, no, there's no bench in Ohio to be governor? Are you kidding me? Joe Allen, come on in.
There's a word called conditioning. We are being conditioned, just like Dearborn, Michigan. If you want an example, prime example to study why we're being conditioning, look at Dearborn, Michigan.
Mm. No sense. Amen. Well, infiltration. They came back to that, right? They were going to conquer us through infiltration, not invasion. Angie, Glenn, some of you guys that are involved out there in Republican politics. Right there by the bathroom is a thing from Pastor Manning. Call me Man of the Year. It's hanging right there on the wall. Oh, okay. I'm yelling at my wife over there, right? What's going on? What's going on? Do we want to win so badly that we're turning away from our principles? How is this happening to us, folks? Because it's everywhere, deep, deep, dark pockets, big money. I got a video I'm going to show you on that in a second. Jack, come in, then Judah, and then I'm going to show you that video. Don't worry about it, honey.
Incrementalism cannot be reversed incrementally.
That's
right.
We've
been going down this road for so long, it's hard to know where to draw the line.
That's right.
You have to go all the way back to the Marxist social gospel that Martin Luther King brought in and effectively destroyed the progress that was being made in the black community. Look at the black church, if you're stupid terminology, but it was dynamic in the 50s. Now what is it? It's a social gospel. That's how we got
it.
Obozo
Christians voting for black Americans are voting Democrat, which is for the killing of unborn black babies, folks. It's
absolutely. So incrementalism cannot be reversed incrementally when whatever his name is there, Dale said the abortion ends the day the church says it does. It's got to be a line in the sand, and you can't cross it right now, right now, right now.
So they gave us a okay. I'm going to do that. Go to number eight real quick. Judah, come on in. Then I'm going to get number eight ready. Go ahead, Judah.
Yeah, Coach. It's just for anybody in here, if you're driving down the road, anybody here ever see a turtle sitting on top of a fence post?
Yeah, somebody put it there.
The point is, turtles can't get on a fence post. Someone had to put them there. And where Ohio goes, the nation goes. People are totally underestimate that whole topic. But it's always been proven where Ohio goes, the nation goes. And, man, the bench has got to stand up.
We'll see where Ohio's going. Ohio's going to Vivek Ramaswamy. That's where Ohio's going, right?
I don't believe it's going to.
I don't think so.
We're going to get a reveal here soon. But we're now into the fourth quarter, and we got a year in front of us.
Amen. 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 Pull up. I got a couple things I want to show here real quickly. I got a thousand different, one of the good ones I wanted to show. I sometimes screw it up. I screwed this one up. But pull up Vody Bachum. You know, Vody just died. You guys know that, right? One of the great, the guy got shot. My brain doesn't. The great apologist of the day. By the way, an apologist is not someone that apologizes for what they believe. Charlie Kirk, thank you. An apologist is somebody who explains. That's an apologist. Vody Bachum, one of the great in our time. Just put it on any of, good about the 5 minute mark, and just listen. Just listen to what comes out of Vody Bachum's death, out of his mouth, right? Go ahead. And folks, I hate to keep coming back to it. Is your pastor talking about this stuff? Go ahead.
Not in. It's God's decision to raise you from the dead and bring you in. So let us stop preaching a man-made, emotion-driven gospel. Let us preach the biblical gospel that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, that salvation is by grace through faith, and that true faith will always come with repentance, surrender, and transformation. This isn't about emotional experiences. This is about a holy God who saves for his glory, not our comfort. And we must stop pretending that a phrase can save when only Christ can. One of the most dangerous trends in modern Christianity is the idea that being led by the Holy Spirit means following your feelings. People say things like, I just feel like the Spirit is telling me, or I have peace about this, so it must be God. We've reduced the voice of the Holy Spirit to a gut feeling or a mood swing. But Scripture never tells us to follow our emotions as evidence of the Spirit's leading. That idea is not only unbiblical, it's spiritually dangerous. The Holy Spirit is not a vague sensation or a passing emotional high. He is the third person of the Trinity. He speaks clearly, precisely, and always in alignment with the Word of God. If the Spirit is leading you, He is leading you in obedience to Scripture, not away from it. The problem is, too many people don't know the Word, so they rely on their emotions instead. They say they're being led by God, but in reality, they're just being driven by their desires. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, what does that leading look like? The context tells us. It's about killing sin and walking in righteousness.
Boom. The Spirit doesn't lead you. Put it in the chat. Put in the chat.
Vody Bachum. That is a boom.
That is a boom, man. You ought to listen to the whole thing. It's a boom. It's a boom for sure. Hey, Spencer, just real quick, Stephanie, our resident pagan, not ex-pagan, sorry, Stephanie, just sent me a powerful thing. I just sent it to you. 10 of the most important Hindu gods and goddesses. Can you pull that up for me there, Spence? This guy wants to be governor of Ohio. He's a conservative. He talks good. Huh? Did you get it, Spence? Oh, come on. I sent it on my phone. Maybe that's why I didn't. Let me try this. Let me send it. There it just came in, huh? Did you get it? I sent it to, where are I sent it to? Jared. Okay, coming right now. Hang on. It'll go faster on the computer. I'm sorry, folks. Hang on. I'm sending it to you, Spence. It's your email. It's coming up right now. And this, again, this just came from our resident pagan, Stephanie. Hindu. We have a man running, came out of nowhere. Okay, he came out of nowhere, and he's running for governor of Ohio, and he's a Hindu. Still don't have it, Spence? There it is. There he says it pops up. This is from our dear friend Stephanie, former pagan. 10 most important Hindu gods and goddesses. Friends, this is what the future governor of Ohio believes. Go ahead. No other gods before me. Somebody tell me, I didn't say no other gods before me. Okay, here we go. There's Ganesha, the son of Shiva and Parvati. Go to the next one. And you can read more about them, who they are. Shiva. Shiva represents death and dissolution, destroying worlds so they may be recreated by Rama. Go to the next one. Krishna, one of the most beloved Hindu gods. Blue-skinned Krishna is the deity of love and compassion. Hey, folks, this is what Vivek Ramaswamy believes. Next one. Rama. Rama is the god of truth and virtue and another avatar of Vishnu. Perfect embodiment of humankind, mentally, spiritually, physically. Not Jesus Christ, not the Holy Spirit. No, Rama. Go ahead, next one. Hanuman. Monkey face Hanuman is worshipped as a symbol of physical strength, perseverance. So, folks, Hindus worship these things. Next one. Vishnu. Peace-loving deity of the Hindu Trinity. Trinity? Hindu Trinity? Vishnu is the presence of and the sustainer of life. He represents principle of order, righteousness, and truth. Next one, Lakshmi. Name comes from the Sanskrit word lakshaya, meaning an aim or goal. So she is the goddess of wealth and prosperity. Lakshmi. Lakshmi. I can't wait to worship her. Next one. Oh, Durga. Durga is the mother goddess, and she represents the fiery powers of the gods. She's the protector of the righteous and destroyer. This is who Vivek Ramaswamy believes in. Next one, number 9. Kali, also known as the dark goddess, appears as a fierce four-armed woman, her skin blue or black. She stands up atop of her husband, Shiva, who lies calmly beneath her feet. Oh, yeah? So she runs the house, huh? She runs the house. Number 10. Saraswati is the goddess of knowledge, art, and music. She represents the free flow of consciousness. The daughter of Shiva and Durga, Saraswati is the mother of Vedas. Chants to her called Saraswati Vandana often begin and end with lessons in how Saraswati endows human beings with the powers of speech and wisdom. That's your next governor. That's what your next governor believes. James Thomas, come on in. Man, we're running out of time. Are you guys okay with it? Are we supposed to vote for him because he's a conservative?
I don't live in Ohio, so that's her choice. It wasn't, you know, when the nation's been has turned itself over to lawlessness. This God had presented himself probably 5 or 6, 7 years ago when he plastered himself on the Empire State Building.
That's true.
I think it was Shiva or the Kali, one of them, that they plastered. So you have to find the kingdom of God in the kingdom of darkness, and you see when they insert themselves in a spiritual kingdom. And so this is why you kind of see, I mean, if something happened to Trump and Vance was in there, that woman would be the second, she would almost be the president, well, she would be the president's wife.
Vance's wife, she's a Hindu, right?
Yeah, infiltration. That's just what the kingdom of darkness does.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, I love you, brother.
Yeah, folks, do you have any idea how stupid we are? I'm talking about all of us, right? They told us Barack Obama was a Christian. How many Christians do you know with the name Barack Hussein Obama? Anybody have a church that he went to? Anybody ever heard him mention the name of Jesus, say a prayer in Jesus' name? Anybody ever hear that? No. They gave us him. Now they're going to give us Ramaswamy. Probably a good guy. Probably. At least he's a conservative. Right? That's where we come down on it. Oh, my goodness. I'm all over the place. Dale, come on in.
Well, hallelujah. There's two names right there that just don't roll off the tongue. First off, it started as Barry Soros. It wasn't like his parents named him that. So he changed his name to align up with his religion. That's the first thing with Barack Obama. Second thing is when I hear Vivek Ramaswamy, I think people just like saying his name to begin with because that's how simple-minded we are. But I hear Rama. When I hear Rama, I hear a food or something that is passed off to be food that it's not. It's fake. It's packaged up to make it look good, but there's no nutritional value. This guy has a tongue like a forked devil. Coach, he did. He articulated his little speech to sway it off because he has been packaged up to look good. And brother, let me tell you, there's nothing good about it.
Dale, he identified with atheist Thomas Jefferson. You guys caught that, didn't you?
First off, Thomas Jefferson was not an atheist. And if you want to say deist, his deities, he still believed in the true God. Now, he might have had some flaws in there, but it is a world of difference of Hinduism.
Oh, my goodness. Can he make that stretch, right? There's a difference between not believing in a God and believing in Krishna or whoever. George, come on in.
Also, something to look at into him is that he came through the World Economic Forum.
He sure did.
A long time ago, I think, as a plant to infiltrate.
Amen. Well, obviously, folks, where was he 4 years ago? Can I say this also? Where was J.D. Vance 4 years ago? How did J.D. Vance become Vice President of the United States? By the way, maybe a good choice. Maybe we need somebody from the private sector, but who tooted his horn? Who blew him up the flagpole? Think his stuff happens by accident? Come on. Gino, come on in, Gino.
I just want to bring about Thomas Jefferson. When he wrote that letter, Separation of Church and State, it was not, the way I'm understanding it, I may be wrong, it was not that the church wasn't supposed to interfere with government, but the government is not to interfere with the church.
Very simple, man. It's very simple. It's separation of church and state means the church is above the government. That's what it means.
Amen.
James Thomas. Go on, James. Greg. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, there's a reason India gave Shiva to CERN. That sits outside CERN. The big monkey Hanuman, he's a 90-foot statue in Sugarland, Texas. Okay. President Barack Obama carries this little statue, carries a little Lord Hanuman in his pocket. He revealed that. Okay. So I hope those little pieces of information make you think a little.
Let me show you this before we have to run here real quick. Pull up for me number 10. Now, folks, this is long, but if you have a chance this afternoon, it would be important that you want to know what's going on. You really want to know what's going on. This is Jeffrey Sachs. I don't know if you know who he is. He's an economist. He's a Jewish. Not that that matters. Just saying the truth. But this guy, On with Tucker, will tell you exactly what's going on. Just play a couple minutes of it and then put it in the chat. It's long. It's 2.5 hours. But he'll tell you exactly what's going on. Play something real quick.
Of Europe, actually, a huge army that Russia was watching. What are you doing? You know, you're not honoring Minsk. You're building up this huge Ukrainian army.
Paid for by NATO.
Paid for by the United States, basically, yes. And in 2021, Putin met with Biden. And then after the meeting, he put on the table a draft Russia-U.S. security agreement. Put it on the table on December 15th, 2021. It's worth reading. Very plausible document. I don't agree with some of it. It's a negotiable document, something you would negotiate. I thought the core of it was stop the NATO enlargement. And I called the White House myself at that point. And
okay, you can stop there because I'm about out of time. I'm just telling you, he unbusts it all, tells you exactly what's going on, financial standpoint, who's in charge, who's running it. And you're not a believer. That's where I come down. I don't know what you guys are. Christians can be bought and sold. What do you think non-Christians can be? Uh-huh. You think this guy's God isn't money? Think not, huh? That he wouldn't compromise, do whatever for money? But he lays it out there. He busts it open. This is what it is that's going on. This is what they're doing. And in Ohio, they want to give us a Hindu governor. See you tomorrow.